All right, so what's your name?
CG.
CG, is that a nickname?
Yeah.
Okay. What does it stand for?
I used to dance at parties, and they wanted us to have like our own stage names, but I didn't want anything cheesy, so my real name's Jesse.
Jesse.
So it's that just letters taken out and scrambled up, and I got CG.
Okay.
Yeah.
And where are you from?
I'm from Miami.
You were born and raised here?
Yeah.
And how old are you?
34.
34? I thought you were a lot younger. So let's start from the beginning. What was your childhood like?
My parents, I think, separated when I was like 2 or 3. I was very, very attached to my mom. I was sweet and well behaved, but very shy. Had a hard time making friends. Was really afraid of people. My mom was bipolar, and I was very like in tune with certain things, like for my age, I guess. Like, I knew that I recall being depressed, like when I was only 4 years old or 3, which I think is pretty young for a kid, because I knew that my mom was sick, but it wasn't like sick like she had a cold, and I knew that, and that hurt me a lot. So I remember being sad, too young of an age, and just maybe that made me like cling to my mom and like strayed from people, or maybe she grasped onto me, and that made me just lean towards her and not towards other people. Yeah.
Was there any event that stuck out to you that made you realize something might not be okay with her?
My first memory was when I was a baby. And I know I was a baby because I remember not being able to talk. I couldn't say any words, utter any words, but I remember being tall. But obviously I was a baby, so obviously I wasn't tall. I see my mom sitting in a chair at the table, and I'm higher than her, so since it's a very long memory, like, from long ago, obviously I was in a high chair. So I remember being a baby in my high chair and seeing my mom crying at the table, and me thinking to myself, I remember having clear thoughts and thinking to myself, hey lady, come here. Give me a hug. I want to give you a hug. Damn it. I don't know how to say it. I need you to come here. Hello. Let me give you a hug so you're not sad, you know? And I think that was like, at a baby, that was my first major memory, was seeing my mom crying and having thoughts like an adult, like words, like, but I couldn't say it. I just knew them.
How old would you say you were at that time? Like 2?
Maybe 2.
That's a crazy sense of awareness for a 2-year-old.
Yeah. Well, I think like you start saying some words at 2, because like maybe not even 2, because I couldn't even say mom, I think. I couldn't say anything. So I remember just being frustrated that I couldn't even get her attention. Maybe I was saying mom, but she was too sad to like look my way.
Yeah. Would you describe her as a good mother?
Like, in the sense that she loved me, yeah. My mom had a drug problem all her life and throughout my childhood. And, so my parents separated when I was 3. And the only times I ever saw my dad were a few times. And it was just him coming over to argue with my mom. So I remember like maybe seeing him handful of times. And that's who he was to me. It was the guy that would argue with my mom that I was very attached to. And then when I was 9 years old, I woke up one day and my mom was gone. And I'm with my brother and we're just waiting for her. And my dad shows up at the house and he says, "You're coming to live with me." That was like maybe the second worst thing that happened. I think the worst thing that happened was after that, they separated my brother and I. My brother is 13 months older than me. So that's my best friend. So my mom just disappeared out of nowhere. Then comes this guy who my only memories of him are just yelling at my mom and them separating me from my best friend. And I guess that was a major thing in my childhood. That was a really big thing.
What substances did your mom use? Do you know?
All of them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was there like something very prominent?
She said she was a heavy drinker, but I remember like cocaine use and crack. And then later on, like when I was like a teenager, becoming an adult, I guess she was using needles. And then after that, just like pills. Prescription pills. So
are you in touch with her?
No, my mom's dead.
She passed away.
Yeah, she died like a few months, about a year before I became homeless. Yeah.
Was it drug related?
So my mom called me one day, like she was having like some drug freak out, and by the time I became a teenager, I just like detached from her and was very withdrawn from her, and I kind of like withdrew from my feelings, and she was very emotional, and that annoyed me. So whenever she would just get really like belligerent and emotional, I just pushed her away. And come to find out, she was like just having some kind of like maybe drug relapse or withdrawal, and I don't know if it's like she did too much or if like she was going through withdrawal and she had epilepsy and maybe she had a seizure during the withdrawals or something like that, and then within the seizure she had an aneurysm. So she survived that and suffered with it for 10 years, my stepdad taking care of her until she relapsed into another small stroke and into a coma during COVID, and then she passed a year after that.
How was living with your dad when he got possession of you?
It was weird at first, but Yeah, it was really weird at first because I didn't know who he was and I wanted to be with my mom. But then I think like I really wanted to like learn to like him. And naturally he liked me a lot, loved me because I was his daughter, but he was pretty abusive. He was very day and night with him. Like I didn't know when he was going to be nice to me or when he was going to be abusive.
Did he use drugs as well?
No.
Are you in touch with him?
He's also dead.
And what about your brother? Are you in touch with your brother? Did you ever reconnect?
No, we did, yeah, of course. But when I became homeless, like, right before I became homeless, kind of knew it was going to happen, and I had a phone call with him, long phone call, and I told him, I said, you won't ever let me go on the streets, would you? And he said, no, of course not, you're my little sister, I love you, you're my world. And then I became homeless, and I asked him if he could help me out, and he was like, no. Just like that, just no. I didn't like school, I got picked on a lot. I always had anxiety, like social phobia kind of took over my life. I always preferred to be by myself.
do you feel that you were born that way, or that it was, or you were shaped through your environment growing up?
I think shaped, because I was told that I was a very happy and friendly baby.
Or do you have moments?
Generally, yeah. I think I'm friendly in the appropriate situations and the right people.
But you still keep to yourself a lot.
Yeah, especially mainly with the streets. It's like there's just, when it comes to the streets and people on the streets, there's just, most of the people on the streets, you don't want to get involved in. You don't want to get involved with them. It's better to stay to yourself.
And what about high school? What was that like? Did you go?
I dropped out of high school pretty early. And I was friends with my brother and all his friends. So I was living with my dad. And then I got my dad to let me move in with my mom and my brother. So my brother had his friends, and they all like drank and smoked weed. That's when I got into that. I think I cared, because I always worried about the future, even as a kid. But I think I had like a learning disorder due to my anxiety.
Did you have an idea of what you wanted to be when you grew up as a kid?
As a kid, I liked animals. I always wanted to be a veterinarian.
Okay.
Yeah, but as a little kid, yeah.
Not anymore, like you wouldn't want to do that anymore?
No, then later on, like teenage years, and today I, if I had the grades and went to school for it, I'd like to be a neuropsychologist.
Wow.
Yeah.
That would be great. You'd probably learn a lot about yourself too, doing that. Mm-hmm. When you first tried drugs and alcohol, what was that like for you?
So yeah, like I said, when I was 15, I started smoking weed and drinking. And I really liked doing that. I'd say like, when if I'm not like doing fentanyl, which is like my current drug of choice, I'm an alcoholic. But I'm not really into weed anymore. In my teenage years, I dabbled in a lot of psychedelics, like mind expansions. And then like the more like, I guess, dangerous drugs, like were like pressured by like boyfriends once I hit my 20s, like coke and pills and shit like that.
So how do you think things started to get out of hand with your drug use?
When I was 25, I had a good friend of 10 years that I got really close with, and we got into a relationship, and then he got in trouble with law, and he ended up going to prison for 2 years, and when he got his 2-year sentence is when I started using heavier drugs, because that hurt a lot. And then 2016 is when people started becoming aware of fentanyl. It's when like everyone was just dropping dead. You know, a lot of my friends died that year. So that affected it a lot. It was 2016. All of that happening.
Did you try heroin before that?
Mm-mm. No, after like 2018 is when I first tried heroin.
What? So heroin was still around at that time?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I always heard fentanyl like completely kicked it out, you know, but maybe it was still around at that time.
Yeah. It's still around in some places.
What was it like doing that for the first time?
It was a relief because I was very unhappy with things at the time. And I was taking, initially I was taking pills. And then eventually it's like pills, it's like you have to take so many just to feel it. And that's really expensive. But then when you just do heroin, you do one bag. And that's like replacing 10 pills. sometimes, like, once you get used to, once your tolerance goes up with pills, you need, like, 10 pills to, like, meet a bag of heroin. You know what I mean?
So the needle use that I see and that people do out here, it always kind of blows my mind. I've never tried it myself, but I've always been really fascinated by it. What led you to making the decision to start using needles? Do you use needles?
Mm-hmm.
So that's, I guess, the most you can get to, right? There's nothing really past that.
Yeah. It was pretty quick. And I guess my answer is similar to yours. It makes me wonder why you're fascinated. And I guess it's because maybe from, like, movies and, like, books, like William S. Burroughs and Kerouac and all that stuff, they kind of, like, what's the word I'm looking for?
Glorified it?
Yeah, I guess. Something or like that.
Or, like, the forbidden fruit or something.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, the words, like,
it's hard to,
yeah, it seems like it's, like, right in front of me, but not quite grasping it.
Have you experienced any overdoses?
Me or other people? Myself?
Yeah, yourself.
Yeah, I actually died once. I was found, I was on Biscayne and ran into somebody, and I said I was dope sick, and I asked them if they'd help me out, and he said, yeah, he'd come right back. And it's not really good to, like, leave somebody who's dope sick out in Biscayne, because it's like, people don't really give you money on Biscayne, and then it's kind of a walk to the dope dealer. So if you're sick there, you're kind of fucked. So he left me there, and when I get sick, when it gets bad, I can't really walk. And so somebody called the cops, police came, and I was Baker-acted, and I was taking a crisis and detoxed. And when I got back and I went back to, like, my camp spot, and asked my friend to hook me up with a shot, forgot to tell him that I came out of crisis, and he slammed me with some pretty good dope. And all I remember saying is, wow, that was really good. And then I wake up just feeling like nothing, like empty, like numb, like no feelings. And I remember the first thing they said was, CG, like, you were dead, we love you. Which was really heartwarming. And they were just telling me everything that happened, and they were really beside themselves and full of emotions, and I just remember just being like, you know?
Kind of out of it?
Like, not out of it, just nothing.
Just feeling nothing.
Yeah.
They Narcan'd you?
Or yeah, you? Yeah. They said, like, I was dead, like.
Wow.
Like, when you die and, like, you pass a stool, you're dead, and that's what I did. I was there. Yeah.
I want to ask about, like, what if you saw, like, a light or anything, but I assume you weren't really there for that.
No, actually, sadly, my body was hovering right over where we are right now.
Here?
Yes.
This spot?
Yeah.
What do you mean, this spot? It happened here?
The bridge behind us.
Yeah.
That's where I died.
Right there.
Yeah, I died there, and at that time my boyfriend was in jail, so I lived there, and I would stare at this courthouse waiting for him to come out, and he was probably the biggest thing in my life. So when I died, he was like my ghost. Everything was gray, and I remember my ghost just hovering right over there and staring at the courthouse, waiting for him to come out.
Did you have any, like, thoughts or perspectives or realizations that
during the
that out-of-body experience?
No, just that I was there and I was waiting for him to come out.
But visually, you were up high looking down?
Yeah, I remember seeing everything and everything just being gray.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty sad. Kind of tells me I need to change some things about my life.
Do you want to change things about your life?
Yeah. I want to get over my anxiety, but I don't know if I'm ever able to. And I think that's what is just going to defeat me, and is defeating me.
So that's the main thing holding you back from...
Yeah, like, you know, October, it's illegal to be homeless October 1st. And it's like, I have the potential to, like, get it together, but, like, the social thing, being around people, it's like, I'm just so not about that, that, like, becoming, leaving the streets, and the thought of going back to society and becoming normal again is just the worst thing in the world to me.
Are you around a lot of people now, out here on the streets?
I'm always hiding. And it's like, when you're on the streets, you can be what you want to be and who you want to be. And I like to hide from people, and when you're on, and since I get to do whatever I want, I can do that all the time. And I don't have to talk to anybody. I'm sure there's a recovery to it. It probably just sounds impossible right now because of my situation and how deep I am into this.
How deep would you say you are? What's your day-to-day like?
Making sure I'm not dope sick.
How do you do that? How do you make money?
I panhandle.
What have you been through living on the streets of Overtown these last 4 years?
Well, a lot. I guess I'm like wondering how I want to answer that, because it also gives me a view on who I am, depending on how I answer that. Like, am I going to answer that in a negative way or a positive way? And that's really going to tell me, like, just the kind of person I am. That's just, like, naturally, like, why do we just naturally answer things in a negative way and a positive way? You know what I mean? Or in a positive way. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying?
Are you talking...
Do you think, like, when you ask this question, do you think people lean more towards the negatives or the positives?
Like the audience?
When you ask the people you're interviewing this question.
Negatives.
The negatives?
Yeah. You can talk about positives.
Would you like to know a negative experience or a positive experience?
I'd like to hear both.
Okay.
Good things and bad things you've been through.
All right, so I guess I'll say the most positive and the most negative. The most negative thing I went through out here was I was beaten and raped by a stranger. And stranger rape is very uncommon. Usually you're raped by someone you know. It was while I was panhandling. Almost happened when I was panhandling. The person found me panhandling. And then, like, kind of, like, stalked me for, like, a month and kept trying to get me to, like, do a date with him. And I kept telling him, like, I don't do that. There are other girls that do that you can ask, but I don't do that. And then finally he found me at my camp that we had up this ramp up here. And he found me there at night, and he snuck in and he beat me like I was a man and, like, orally raped me. And so, like, situations like that, like to this, like, now, like, and I don't say it like as like it's a phase, like it's a choice after the decisions I've made because of my experiences, that I'm celibate now. That I just, the things I've seen people, what they're capable of being when it comes to like bad decisions, I think it's like, I feel like I'm degrading myself more when I give my body to somebody than the drugs.
Yeah, there's a soul exchange.
Yeah.
I believe. So, I understand what you're saying. Yeah. I respect that a lot.
Yeah.
That is definitely horrible. Do you know anything about that guy? Was he like a normal guy in society, or was he also like another, like...
Apparently he...
He's obviously not normal.
Was known to have done that quite often, and somebody told me he was actually found dead. But I don't know if that was true, because the person who told me that, he kind of makes up rumors that are pretty, like, random and out there.
Okay.
A lot of people on the streets are like that. But, I mean, he did kind of describe him to the T.
If he was dead, how would you feel about that?
Satisfied.
What are some positive things you've been through out here? Maybe something positive that people wouldn't expect.
Most positive thing that I believe nobody would expect, and that I never expected, is that when you are homeless on the street, you have to save lives.
So you've saved lives?
Yeah. When you're homeless, you're definitely going to come across an OD. And obviously there's Narcan. But sometimes there's a situation where it's like you don't know how to use Narcan, or you can't use Narcan because it's not available. And then that's a moment where you learn more about yourself, as what kind of person are you? Are you going to leave that person and run, or are you going to save that person and risk yourself getting in trouble or failing to save them, and then failing that person just fall out of your hands. I've saved about every person that's like OD'd in front of me. I've saved like nine people.
Wow.
One of them was my boyfriend. He was dead in my camp. I gave him 2 Narcans. He didn't respond. I was giving him CPR. I was giving him CPR for a really long time, and I remember thinking to myself as I'm giving him CPR that I felt like he was just holding on to life by a string, and my CPR was the string. And if I let go, he was gonna go. And I felt like if I just continued with this and didn't do something different, that it was going to damage him some way, and I had to think of something, but it's like I was so beside myself that I didn't know what to do. So then I just said to him, I said, hey, listen, like, if you could do me one favor, if I could ask you to do one thing for me, and if you never ever want to do anything for me, but you could do one thing for me, come back. And his face turned red, and he took a breath, and then his breathing improved. And I was able to just stand up and take a moment, and I told my friend, okay, continue chest compressions and rub his sternum so I can think about what to do. And I saw a glass of ice, and I grabbed the glass of ice and I poured it down his pants, and he jumped up alive, thrashing and tearing my camp apart.
Wow.
Yeah.
You seem connected to some kind of, like, or tapped into life and death in a way, maybe.
Yeah. I think I'm really different to versus a lot of the people on the street. I mean, I don't know everyone's story, but I've heard a lot, and I think I definitely stand out compared to most of the people I know, because it seems like from what everyone that I know has told me, that they're homeless like because they're troubled, they did bad things, like they fucked over their family or something, or their friends or something like that. And in my situation, mine happened because I think life got the best of me. Like, a lot of, like, friends and family members were dying. And then that I have problems with my body, so that I always needed to be on some kind of pain relief. Because, like, I feel like I can't even stand up if I'm not on some kind of painkiller. So I feel like my issue is, like, a physical disability and emotional disability. And not so much that, like, I feel like I'm homeless because of, like, a physical and emotional disability, because I was able to, like, hold jobs and do my drugs, you know. Because, like you said, like, you asked if I was always an addict, and I never really felt like I was an addict, but I didn't get, like, into, like, heavy drugs until, like, I was 28. I never did cocaine until I was 25. So I feel like I just, like, accepted defeat, you know.
You talked about mind expansion and some, you know, a period of using psychedelics. Do you have anything, like, any stories from that? I'm always super interested in that sort of thing, too.
Have you ever heard of ayahuasca?
Yeah.
Have you ever done ayahuasca?
No.
I've done ayahuasca 3 times. And it's spiritual medicine. Before I did ayahuasca, I was really, like, you'd be surprised, like, I was a fighter. Like, I was really violent and unapproachable and pretty tough. Like, if I didn't like the way you looked at me, and I was like, if I'm walking past you on the sidewalk, like, I'd beat a motherfucker up. And I was just really angry all the time, and always looked really angry. And people would tell me, they're like, dude, you're really scary and intimidating, I just didn't want to come near you. And then I did ayahuasca, and it just, like, healed my soul. Like, became a completely different person, like, a happier person, like, really down to earth and just at peace with myself.
When did you do it? How long ago?
When I was 18.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it was like a permanent mind-altering healing process.
Did you see, like, what did you see? Like, any visions or?
They, with ayahuasca, they say to, like, focus on yourself. And not, like, really focus on the visuals because it is a medicine and a healing process. But one thing I did see one time, I've done it 3 times. The third time I did it, I remember seeing something, like, there was, like, this divide in space, like water, you know what I mean? And it would kind of, like, teeter and rotate, like how would I explain, it was like as if you took an orb that was like half, you know, when you have an orb that's like half water, something that's floating in the middle, and then you turn it and stuff, and it always just stays on one side.
Yeah, yeah.
It was like that I was staring at, like, in clear space, and then basically that exact thing. And I don't remember, I think I maybe saw myself, my body, kind of just going in and out of, like, the space and, like, the water, but then I also saw the water as the wall, like a black wall, like black and dark blue, and I don't know what that meant, but, like,
did it feel
pretty wild?
Did it make you feel good or any type of emotion?
I felt like a cleansing from something really evil.
And it was like water, you said.
Yeah. It was like a wall of water. Yeah, like I said, I used to dance for parties. Like, I wasn't a stripper or anything, but I was a go-go dancer. And I've been to some ultra parties. I used to go to a lot of the goth clubs.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I like electronic music.
Do you like, well, like goth club, so do you like new wave music? Like,
yeah, I love new wave music.
Who are your, like, number, like, all-time favorite artist would you say?
I really like Depeche Mode.
Depeche Mode, nice. Yeah. Do you listen to music currently?
I'm not able to. I don't have access to music. I wish I did.
That's probably one of the saddest things you've told me.
Yeah.
Do you miss it?
Of course.
How can you listen to music? Like a radio, maybe?
Yeah, if I can get one.
I'll get you a radio.
I would love a radio.
I will get you one.
That would be amazing.
What part of Miami did you grow up in exactly? Was it close to here or was it...
I was born in Cutler Ridge, but moved a lot. I lived in Palm Bay during my what was supposed to be high school years, which is like an hour below Orlando. I'm getting sick.
All right. Yeah. Would you say there are any other major life events that we've missed?
Sickness, it kind of just comes out of nowhere. It doesn't like gradually come on, it just
no, I understand,
like, hits you like a train.
And yeah, thank you so much for talking to me.
Yeah, no problem.
Oh, and do I have your permission to post this on YouTube and yeah. Social media?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, thank you, CG.